Memoirs, our series that we had been going through. And tonight is something that I want to share with you all that God wants to speak to you. I know that every single one of you in this room needs to hear this message. And so I invite you guys, I put my phone on airplane mode. I invite you to do the same. But really, eliminate all distractions, because this is something that the world deals with and that we all deal with. And it's time that we start looking at ourselves the way that God looks at us. It's time to start looking at ourselves not based on our appearance or our performance, but based on our faith and our character in Jesus Christ. So some things that define us, you know, what defines you? Is it, oh, I'm a skateboarder because I wear Vans. That's true for me. Is it true for you? Or I wear, you know, a sick Letterman jacket because I'm a quarterback, or I'm a cheerleader, or, you know, I wear a sports hat, you know, a baseball cap because I play baseball. What defines us? What defines me? What defines you? Is it our appearance? Is it our performance? Or is it our heart? Is it our relationship with Jesus Christ? Some of you gave your lives to the Lord last week. And man, congrats. We're stoked, dude. Yep. And now that you have given your life to the Lord, you can never be the same. And if you know Jesus, not just from last week, your life can still never be the same. See, some of those old things that used to define you no longer do. Some of you are here today, and you've given your life to the Lord, and yeah, I'm a Christian, and life's great, but you still feel lost with who you are. Some of you walk into this room, and you're one way here, and you're another way at home. You're one way here, you act a certain way here, but at school or alone, you act completely different. See, there's some of us here tonight that are struggling with who we are, with what our identity is in, with who are we. But check this out. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, says that if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. Behold, the dead is gone and the new has come. So we are a new creation if we're in Christ, which I hope you are. If you're not, dude, I am so incredibly excited for you to be here. And if you do know Jesus, I'm still as incredibly excited, man. I'm just so stoked that you guys would choose to come hang out with us on a Saturday night. So if we're in Christ, we're a new creation. If we call ourselves Christians and we follow Jesus, our identity is no longer in who we were, but it's in Jesus. So remember last week how we talked about the victory and how Jesus, you know, died on the cross, but he rose again and that tomb was empty. See, he made a way for us to be forgiven and to be redeemed, to be bought back. For us to finally have our identity, not in the world, but in him. So my prayer tonight, guys, is as we dig at God's word, is that you would understand fully that our identity doesn't lie in what we see, how we perform. Our identity lies in being right with Jesus Christ and imitating him and his character. Father, we come before you, and we just ask that, Lord, as we're digging at your word, that you would show us how much you love us and how much our identity doesn't have to be stuck in our appearance or in our performance or in how we act or what we do. God, I pray that we would know that our identity can be found in you because of what your word says, because of who you are and what you've done for us. So God, would you speak to us? And it's in your name we pray. Amen. What is this? A mirror. Huh, surprise. Sorry, I didn't think that would happen. But now you're blinded. Lord, I just pray you'd help them receive their sight, right? Okay. So, this is a mirror. What happens if you look in the mirror? What do you see? You see your reflection. Okay. What do you see? You see me. Okay. What about you? What do you see? You see yourself. Okay. So if I look in the mirror, I'm seeing me and I'm seeing a lot of you, but this is your reflection. Yeah. You're like, wow, this is science, guys. I'm from the future. Check this out. But when we hold up a mirror, What do we see? Oh, man. I see like a black head. I see like a white hair in my mustache that I just shaved. How is it there again? Right? Oh, I see that wrinkle. Oh, I see those bags under my eyes. Or I see this appearance that we work so hard to follow. See, when we look in the mirror at ourselves, are we seeing what the world sees? Acne, or dang, I look good, right? Or like, hey, my hair is sick. Or man, I really need to get my eyebrows, like, you know, tweezed. Or man, I really need to shave. Like, do we see how the world sees and see our appearance? Or do we look in the mirror and see how God sees? So instead of, oh my gosh, I'm ugly, right? You say, oh, I see boldness. I see compassion. I see strength. I see forgiving. When we look in the mirror at ourselves, are we viewing ourselves the way that the world says we should look? Or are we viewing ourselves the way that God says we look? See, there's a difference. And tonight we're going to talk about that, our view of ourselves and our identity. And like we said, we can't place our identity in our appearance or performance. We need to place our identity in our faith and character in Jesus Christ. There's this verse you guys can open up to. It's 1 Samuel 16. And we're going to be reading verses 3 through 13. If you brought your Bible, great. If not, just listen. So God is trying to get a new king. Let me just give you some backstory. So there's this king of Israel, his name's Saul, and he's really not doing a good job because God told him to go and attack this city, and so he did. But God said, you need to destroy everything because those people are bad, and they're wicked, and they're sinful, so get rid of them. And so Saul goes, and he destroys everything, but he takes the very best of the cattle and the livestock and the money, and he doesn't kill the king, which God commanded him to do. So Saul was disobedient, and so God said, man, I've rejected you as king because you won't obey me, because you won't follow my instructions, because remember, God's plan is better than ours. And so God was like, all right, Samuel. And Samuel's the prophet of Israel at this time. And so God tells Samuel in verse 3, he says, hey, Samuel, invite Jesse to the sacrifice, and I will show you what to do. You are to anoint the next king for me who I indicate. Samuel did what the Lord said. Just real quick, that's good. He did what the Lord said. Remember that. Do what the Lord says. When he arrived at Bethlehem, the elders of the town trembled when they met him. They asked, do you come in peace? Samuel replied, yes, in peace. I've come to sacrifice to the Lord. Consecrate yourselves and come to the sacrifice with me. Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. When they arrived, Samuel saw one of the sons of Jesse. His name was Eliab. And he thought, surely the Lord's anointed stands here before the Lord. But this is sick. Pay attention. It says, but the Lord said to Samuel, do not consider his appearance or his height, for I have rejected him. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Can everyone just take a deep breath with me? That's good. It's good news. I don't have to keep up this facade of like, dude, I gotta look good, right? Because then I'll be accepted. The Lord looks at our heart. So remember, middle school boys, that doesn't mean don't shower, okay? Still shower. Keep up your personal hygiene and appearance, right? But know that God looks at the heart. I love you, middle school boys. You're great. Legends, cool? Legends. All right, sick. So, verse 8, then Jesse called Abinadab, a.k.a. hitting the dab. Okay, cool. I had to throw that in. None of you saw that. Okay, cool. Is that still hot? No, okay. Dang it. What's hot right now? Backflips? I'm just kidding. I'm not going to do a backflip. What's cool right now? Nothing? The whip? Raising your hand? Raising your hands? Cool. Let's all raise our hands. This is the next thing. What's good, y'all? Okay, cool. So Jesse called his next son, Abinadab, right? and he had him pass in front of Samuel. So here's the scene. Samuel's there, and they're at this feast, and they're sacrificing to the Lord. And then Jesse, he's the dad, obviously. He gets all his boys, all of his sons, and they kind of line up, except they're not playing rock, paper, scissors. And they all pass by Samuel because Samuel is waiting to be indicated by God who the next king is. So, but Samuel said, "The Lord has not chosen this one either." Jesse then had Shammah pass by, but Samuel said, "Nor has the Lord chosen this one." Jesse had seven of his sons pass before Samuel. But Samuel said to him, "The Lord has not chosen any of these." So he asked Jesse, he said, "Hey, are these all the sons you have? Let me count. There's a lot. Oh, wait. There's one more," he says. "There is still the youngest," Jesse answered. "He is tending the sheep." Samuel said, "Send for him. We will not sit down until he arrives." So he sent for him and had him brought in. He was glowing with health and had a fine appearance and handsome features. Good for him. Then the Lord said, "Rise and anoint him. This is the one." So Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the presence of his brothers. And from that day of the, and from that day on, the Spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon David. Samuel then went to Ramah. So let me just share a bit of this story, and then we'll dig in, right? So Samuel's looking for the next king, and he sees this one guy, one of Jesse's sons, and, you know, I did a little bit of research, and this dude, Eliab, apparently he was, like, really tall and really handsome and just looked strong, and, like, so Samuel saw him and thought, surely this dude fits the part. He looks really good on the outside, and he looks like he'd be a really strong and amazing king. But then you notice what God says. He says, "I've rejected him because I don't look at the appearance, I look at the heart." See, Eliab may have looked the part, but God knew that his heart wasn't right for the part. Because God looks beyond the surface. He looks deep into our heart and shows us and knows exactly why we're doing what we do and who we're trying to impress and where we're putting our identity. See, we live in a world right now that's all about image. Can I get an amen? Right? Everyone's about how good you look and, you know, all this and that and Instagram. And you got to have, like, the perfect lighting, you know. Like, some of you need, like, that lighting to take a selfie. I'm just kidding. Surprise! See, the world is... Oh, I'm sorry, guys. Did that hurt? You're good. God's with you. Okay. So we live in a world that's all about the image, while God is all about the heart. It's kind of like a weird thing, right? Because you think that, man, God might, I mean, he made me, and he says, like, I'm beautifully and wonderfully made, so he must care about the outward appearance. I mean, yeah, because he says you're awesome and beautiful, but he cares more about your heart. Don't forget that. Identity is a big deal. It looks at who we are, what are we known for, who am I, what do I matter, do I fit into this crazy big world? But God doesn't look at us based on our appearance or performance, don't forget that. He looks at us based on our faith, which is our relationship with him, and our character. So the first thing you guys can write down is appearance. Let's talk about appearance. This is a big deal to people. And dude, it's a big deal to me, man. Like, I'm not going to stand up here and be like, you know, like, God only cares about the heart. So, you know, it's a struggle, dude. We're human. We're real. But this is where I want to relate to you guys and let you know that you're not alone. But also that we got to do this together. Because if we're to find our true identity and know who we really are, we can't put it in our appearance. It's a big deal how we look, how we dress, how we present ourselves, you know, at school or on social media. This world is all about image. So we got to ask ourselves, we're going to divide this point into two sections. First off, we're going to talk about how our appearance affects ourselves, and then how our appearance affects others, and how our view of them affects them and us. So with ourselves, we get asked some questions like, man, does our identity lie within looking the part? Does my identity lie within looking the part of a Christian? Or does it lie in being the most attractive? you know, where I always have to keep up my appearance. You know, just like every year, there's a new iPhone. My iPhone's like 4 years old right now, and I updated it, and it's like slowly dying because Apple loves to do that. Anybody else feel that? Yeah? Because they want you to buy a new one, right? Monsters. Let's pray for them. Lord, I'm just kidding. But it's like a new iPhone every year, right? You got to always keep up on top of it, because if you don't, then man, I'm outdated. And maybe some of us feel like that with our appearance, that we always have to get the latest things or the newest clothes or the latest shoes. And trust me, man, I love getting new shoes. That's like my favorite thing. But if we're putting all of our identity into who we are, then we're missing the point. Because our identity, our appearance shouldn't be our identity. Do you know the fashion industry generates $1.2 trillion every year? That's a lot of money. $1.2 trillion. It's crazy, right? It's everywhere, man. And it's crazy for us because we're bombarded by image and everything that the media wants to throw at us. And so, yeah, it's hard not to put our identity in how we look. We all want to look good, to impress our friends, to impress, you know, that shoddy we ran into at the mall. What's up, girl? What's it, you know? Like, we want to impress people because we desire to be sought after, to be wanted. But God doesn't look at the outward appearance, you say, Cody? He doesn't see me for my cool hairstyle and my, you know, my Vans? No. He doesn't look at you the way that the world looks at you. Verse 6, right? Everyone saw that Eliab was tall and attractive and amazing, but God rejected him because he knew his heart and he wasn't ready. So how do we see? Are we looking at ourselves through this mirror of, man, I see that blackhead and that wrinkle, or I see that extra weight, or I see, man, those ripped jeans that aren't ripped in the cool way, like they're just really old, and so I need to get new ones. Or do I see, you know, because I stayed up too late, like those bags, I just see all the flaws in me. How do we see ourselves? Do we look in the mirror and see that, or do we look in the mirror and say, you know what, maybe I got a little bit of flaws, but I know that that's not where my identity is. That's not where I'm putting all of my worth. Because I care about my appearance, right? You know, we all do, but I'm not putting all my eggs into that basket because God says that he doesn't look at the appearance. He looks at the heart. So before we continue, I just want to let you guys know that if you're kind of feeling, you know, real beat down about your appearance and you know, you're feeling really upset with how you look, that's okay. But know that that's not all you are. That's not all you were created to be, is to look good. That's not it at all. So where do we place our identity? Let's talk about others now. How do we view other people? Do we compare our appearance to others? Man, they look good and I don't. And that dude likes her and not me. Or that girl likes me and not him. Because they look better, right? Are we looking at other people and appearing and comparing ourselves to them? Comparison is the biggest thief of joy. Comparison is the absolute biggest thief of joy. When we are constantly comparing ourselves to others, it's a thief, man. It's not who we were meant to be. It's not what we were meant to do. Are we critical about our own appearance? Are we critical about others' appearance? Because the truth is, if we're really critical about us, about others, excuse me, then that means that we're picking out things in them that we're absolutely insecure about within ourselves. The things that we are most critical about with others are usually the things that we are the most insecure about. I want to talk to you guys about something pretty heavy, and we're going to, you know, speed this up. But, you know, there's this thing that it's called like, it's not called like, it's called body shaming. And it's pretty much where you look at yourself and you say, you're ugly, you're stupid, you're too fat, you're too skinny, you're too this, you're too that, I hate you, blah, blah, blah. It's a real thing. But did you know that eating disorders are heavily linked to body shaming? You know, that one comment about someone can either make them or break them. So what are we commenting about others to ourselves? Man, she gained some weight, or he's not muscular enough, so like he must be stupid, you know? It's like, what? What are we commenting to others about ourselves? Or what are we commenting to ourselves about others? There was a girl who had a dream to be a model. And so she pursued it, and she was traveling and had an agency and everything. And someone told her, they said, hey, your hips are too wide. And that one comment broke her. She developed an eating disorder that's ravaged her life. She can't look in the mirror and see beauty. She can't look in the mirror and see something that God made. She just sees, my hips are too big. I'm too fat. I'm too ugly. I can never be a model. Someone told a young man that his wrists were too skinny, that he didn't look muscular or strong enough, that he wasn't a real man. So this developed an unhealthy obsession with lifting weights and gaining muscle, and led to steroid use because he wanted to look the part because of one comment. So my friends, be careful what you say about someone's appearance. Because remember, our identity isn't in our appearance. It's in our heart, and it's in our relationship, our faith, our character with Jesus Christ. Number two, God doesn't look at our performance. And I love this because, you know, some of you may be an athlete. You know, I grew up playing soccer and skateboarding. Anybody else an athlete in here? Tight. So you guys know what it's like to, you know, to be in a game and, you know, you got that pressure, like you have to score, you have to hit that touchdown, or you got to, you know, blah, blah, blah. You got to perform in order to be noticed, to be remembered. I remember one time, dude, it was like senior night, and I was on the varsity soccer team, and we were playing this team, and it was like our rival. And long story short, the ball bounced over the goalie, and I ran up, and I kicked it, and I had an open net, and I skied it, bro. Shameful, right? And everyone was laughing at me, you know, like, you suck, and I'm just feeling like, dude, I do. Even though I've scored hundreds of other goals, I missed that one, and everyone made fun of me because my performance wasn't what it should be. See, the world looks at our performance and says, if you're successful, if you've got trophies, then you got status, you got wealth, you got joy. But see, God doesn't care about the amount of trophies that are on your wall. He cares about the love that you show his people. He doesn't care about how many, you know, trophies and medals you have. He cares about, hey, where are you at with me? Because if your appearance and your performance looks amazing, but your heart is far from me, then what are you doing? What's it for? What's it worth? Maybe some of you feel like you have to perform in order to impress your dad, or to impress your friend, or your boyfriend, or your girlfriend. Or maybe you feel like, man, if I'm really good at something, then someone will want to hang out with me because I'll be really good and I'll be desired. Maybe that's true. Maybe people will want to hang out with you because how you look and how you act, how you perform. But the truth is if you're only doing that to play the part, then you're going to be left empty and unsatisfied, and you're not going to know your true identity. You're going to be stuck in this cycle. You know, you're going to graduate, and then you're going to go to college, and then you're going to try and get lots of money or have lots of kids to look the part, but yet you're going to be dissatisfied because you don't know who you are. You don't know who you are. So don't fall into that trap of having to get straight A's and be perfect and do all this stuff just to gain approval, to look a certain way, to perform, to gain even God's approval. Because if you fall into that cycle, my friend, that's religion. That's not a relationship. God hates religion. He came and died and rose again to give us a real relationship, to give us forgiveness, to show us our true identity. So don't come in here and be one way and then leave another way. Don't look at me and say, brother, it's just been absolutely fantastic. God bless it. You know, it's been amazing. I'm just praying. Hallelujah. It's like, no, dude. If you're like, man, Cody, today sucked and I need prayer because I'm like, I feel like I need to like cut myself, or I feel like I need to do something or punch someone, or I need to drink this or smoke that. Like, be real. Because I'm going to pray for you. And I'm going to love you no matter what. And your leaders are going to pray for you and they're going to love you no matter what. But God doesn't look at this, right? I look so great. Hallelujah. No, man, he sees the heart. He knows our true intention. And he says that our identity is not in our appearance or performance. It's in our relationship, right? Our faith, our character. I want to just note that, you know, it's okay to look good. It's okay to care about how you dress and to have those hobbies and this and that. It's okay to want to perform and succeed. It's okay, right? There's a healthiness to all of this. However, when you cross that line of, man, I need to be that, to prove that to my dad, or to do this to get that girl so I can sleep with her, or I need to do this so that people will love me, that's not who you are. You're trying to find out who you are in something that has nothing to do with who you really are, where your identity is. So God doesn't judge. He doesn't look. He's not impressed by our appearance or our performance. He's impressed by our faith. That's the next thing you guys can write down. If you notice this, Samuel saw this dude Eliab who looked the part and looked amazing. He was really handsome and tall and strong. And he saw him and he thought, man, this is the guy. He looks so great on the outside and he's going to be an amazing king. Surely this is him. But God knew that he didn't have the heart to be king. He knew that his motives weren't right. He knew that his identity wasn't to be this chosen king of Israel, to be this chosen follower of God. It was to be just this, like, I don't know, to be this really good looking, like, I appear like I should be king. But see, guys, God doesn't see that. And I love that. Because you could be like, you know, you could be the most rejected person by society and you could, you know, not look the part, right? Not look the part, right? Because that's what the world says. Or you could be like the most outcast person and God will still use you. Isn't that cool? Because God wants someone who's humble and wants someone who seeks after him and wants someone who's going to go and answer that call to do whatever he can to make Jesus known in this world. The Bible says that God exalts the humble, that he lifts them up. But he cuts down the proud. It's interesting. I read this analogy that, you know, farmers, obviously, they harvest every year. And in a wheat field, there's this thing that's called chaff. And that's like, you know, the dried up wheat and stuff. Like when it's ready to be harvested, it's bowed down. It's humble. But when it's not ready to be harvested, it stands tall and it stands proud. See, God will cut down the proud. He won't use proud people. Why? Because they won't fully surrender to God. They won't get what it is. They won't put their identity fully in Jesus Christ. They'll stand tall and say, God, I've got it my own way. You know, you're great. Bless me and I'll serve you. But the humble person says, you know what? I'm going to have a desire to have this relationship with you, God. And I want to put my identity in that I'm a child, that I'm a son, I'm a daughter of the Most High King. That I'm not this really good looking, you know, soccer player, or I'm not this really amazing volleyball player, or, you know, I don't just look beautiful and have these most amazing selfies you've ever seen. I don't want to be that. I want to be that person that says, God, use me in any way that you can, because I know that my identity is found in you and not in the world. Have you guys noticed that when Samuel tells Jesse to invite all of his sons, he says, all of your sons to the feast, to the sacrifice. One of them didn't come, right? Who was that? Do you guys remember? It starts with a D. David. Why wasn't David invited? Did he not look the part? Did he not look tall and handsome and muscular? Was he, you know, smaller? Was he, you know, not maybe not as ripped as his older brother? But notice where David is. Jesse says, oh, there's one more. It's David. I almost forgot. Oh, my youngest. Where is he? He's out tending the sheep. He's out being a shepherd boy. But David was looked over. He was forgotten. He wasn't even invited to be with his dad and his brothers. Could you imagine what David may have seen if he looked into that mirror? Maybe he thought, oh, I'm too small, I'm too weak, I'm too young. But you know what? When God saw David, he saw humble, he saw brave, he saw willing, he saw righteous. My friends, God has big plans for those who have a righteous heart. God has big plans for those who are willing to be used by God. Who know that their true identity isn't in this, man. It's all about me. When we see ourselves the way that the world sees ourselves, we're of course going to shame ourselves. We're of course going to compare ourselves to others. We're of course going to try and look the part and perform and all this because that's what everyone else is doing. But when we look in the mirror and we see ourselves the way that God sees us, our whole outlook will change because we will know that we are beautiful, that we are forgiven, that we actually mean something to God and that our identity is in Him. So remember, it's not about how good you look at church or how holy you may seem or how many verses you have memorized, how many cuss words you don't say or maybe you do say, you know, it's Monday, so I'm just going to slip one out and then I'll ask for forgiveness on Saturday, right? It's not about that. It's about having a right heart before God. Can we view ourselves the way that God does? Is that possible? Can we make what's important to God important to us? Can we focus on having a strong, godly heart that wants to serve Him and to make Him known instead of focusing on ourselves and how good we look or appear to be? Remember, this is a no-flex zone. So be real. Take off the mask. You can be yourself here. We're not going to judge you. We're not going to condemn you. We're not going to make fun of you because you missed the goal. Because you had to open that and you didn't score. We're not going to laugh at you. No, my friend, that if you're in Christ, your identity isn't in how you look or appear or perform. Your identity is found in being a follower of Jesus Christ, in being a forgiven sinner who has a right heart before God. What if we looked in the mirror and instead of seeing that acne or seeing that wrinkle, what if we looked in the mirror and we saw what God was trying to say to us all along? What if we looked in the mirror and we saw forgiven, redeemed, beautiful, chosen, my prized possession? What if we looked in the mirror and we didn't see what the world saw, but we saw how God sees us? Because when He died and He rose again, He said, "It is finished. Your sin is finished. And you can have a relationship with Me." So know that if you're here today and you're struggling with body shaming or an eating disorder, or you're trying to fit the part by getting in the gym every single day and taking steroids and all these substances, that you don't have to, because that's not who you are. God doesn't say you must buy $3,000 of cosmetics to get to heaven. You must, you know, pump 25,000 pounds to get to heaven. Remember, there's nothing wrong with looking good or wanting to be strong or get fit. Absolutely nothing wrong with that. But when we place our identity into that over who we really are, that's where it becomes wrong. That's where it becomes something like idolatry, where we're making something else our God instead of the God who saved and forgave us. See, guys, this is where our identity is. Redeemed, forgiven, beautiful. This is where our identity is found. It's having full confidence in who God says we are. So what if instead of seeing our flaws, we saw what God was speaking over us? Instead of our appearance, we saw grace. Instead of performance, we saw forgiveness. God chose a humble servant boy, David, to be king of Israel. What could he use you for if you have a right heart before him? So how does this all apply to me? How does this relate to me, Cody? What does this mean? How do I make this personal? How do I apply this to my life? I'm glad you asked. See, how do we stop falling into the trap of placing our identity in our appearance or our performance? So when you start having those thoughts of, I gotta look that way, or I gotta perform that way because that's who I am. I'm the skater, or I'm the jock, or I'm the nerd, whatever it is. I gotta follow that stereotype because of how I look or how I perform. Remember these three tips. Cool, write these down. Number one, memorize the word. Romans 15:7 says, accept one another then just as Christ accepted you in order to bring praise to God. 1 Peter 2:9 says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. The Bible goes on and on about how beautiful and how amazing you are. So don't scroll through Instagram and shame yourself because you don't have that many followers or because you don't look the part. Scroll through God's word, man, and figure out who you are. See who he made you to be and how much he loves you. Memorize the word, because when you're in that temptation, when you're in that battle, man, memorize. No. I don't have to follow that because my identity is found in Jesus. I'm a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. Christ accepted me, so I'm going to accept everyone else because I'm a child of God. I'm forgiven. I'm beautiful. I'm redeemed because he says I am. Number two, ask why. Our why is the driving force behind everything we do. Ask yourself, why am I doing this? Why am I in the mall 3 hours a day trying to buy out the greatest stuff? Why am I browsing those makeup tutorials online? Why am I looking up workouts? Is it because I want to look fit, or I want to just feel better about myself? What is it? Or is it because I have to fall into that category that I've been stereotyped into? I got to play all these video games because everyone thinks I'm a nerd, but I hate video games. I gotta go play basketball and be this star football player. Or, you know, I gotta be this amazing volleyball player. I gotta kill it at chess because that's who I'm expected to be. Ask yourself, why am I doing these things? Because when you're in the heat of the battle, our why needs to be the driving force behind our choices. So remember, why? Why am I doing this? Is it to please God because my identity is found in him? Or is it to please the world because that's where I think my identity is found? And the third and last one is to pray. Prayer is important. And if you don't pray, you should. And it's simple. It's not mystical and weird. It's just talking to God, because you have a relationship with him. And even if you don't, you can still pray to God. But I pray that you would know him first, so that there aren't any roadblocks, there aren't any frequency, you know, roadblocks or anything for your prayer to be heard. See, God hears us, but he hears his children even more. So when we're in a tough spot and we're battling that, man, and we're stuck in this identity battle, and we're really tempted to do that thing that we know we shouldn't because that'll make us feel better with our appearance or our performance, just pray. Say, God, I need your help. I just heard tonight that my identity isn't in how I look or how I perform. It's in you and what you did on that cross and what you did when you rose again. Because I'm now a child, I'm now a son, a daughter of you, and I need your help. Would you show me what that looks like? Pray to God, be real. And my friend, know that you're not alone. We all struggle with this. And this is a safe place, this is your home, this is your family. We want you guys to come and talk to us. Get plugged in a connect group, in a small group. And be real with each other. Be real. Memorize the word. Ask why. Pray. And remember, my friend, that your identity is not in what the world says you are. Your identity, who you are, is not your appearance. It's not your performance. It's based on your relationship and your character, your right heart, your willingness, your servant attitude before the Most High God. Cool? Lord, we thank you so much for tonight. Father, we just ask that you would show us how much we are forgiven and that our identity isn't in the world, it's in you. So Father, would you please help us this week as we aim to memorize your word, to ask why, and to pray to you. Give us strength. Help us to know that who we really are is who you say we are. In Jesus' name, everyone who agreed said, amen. Yo, let's stand and close in a song.